Good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
God bless you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for the encouragement. I do appreciate that.
No, it's awesome.
You worship somewhere here locally? My name's Tony, by the way.
Jesse,
nice too. To meet you.
Actually, over in Moline.
What church?
Church of Jesus Christ.
Of Latter-day Saints?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Spanish. I go to the Spanish.
Yeah. How long have you been involved with that?
My whole life.
Yeah. So we believe quite differently. Regarding who Jesus Christ is.
We do?
Well, forgive me.
don't jump the gun.
You're right. No, forgive me for that. No, I wasn't judging. I was assuming. It's my understanding regarding the tenets of the Church of Jesus Christ that Jesus is a created being.
Created being?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Meaning he is not eternally the Son of God.
No, that's not true at all. He is the eternal Son of God.
But, well, how could he be eternal and also be created?
I don't understand what you mean, be created.
Okay.
If he's the Son of God, I guess God created him because he's the Son of God.
Okay, so in that sense, you would say that he's a created being.
Well, I guess I don't... Do you mean like...
I'm not trying to pigeonhole you or trick you or anything. I want to understand what it is that Jesse believes. Right? So, again, forgive me for making the assumption. But it's my understanding what I've studied about the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, and those with that faith, that religion that I've talked to, is that Jesus is not eternally the second person of the one and only triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
No, yeah, that's...
Is that...
We completely believe that. He is.
Okay, that's, well, no disrespect, Jesse, but that's the first time I've ever heard
someone
from your faith say that.
No, I
so explain to me what that means to you. I want to make sure I understand.
I can't quote the scripture exactly, but in the New Testament it says that with God was the Word, right?
In the beginning was the Word.
The Word.
And the Word was with God and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Christ.
Okay.
He is eternally and forever will be the Son of God.
Okay. Is he God?
Yeah, I do believe he is God. If you believe in the Trinity, you know, God
yes.
the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
One God in three persons. Not three gods operating together. That would be a heresy known as modalism. But one God in three persons. Not three gods working together.
I don't understand the modalism terminology.
Modalism is the belief that, and I'm not saying this is what you believe, but modalism is the belief that there is one God and he has manifested himself in three different ways.
Oh, no.
As God the Father, as God the Son, and as
no,
God the Spirit.
I believe there are three separate beings.
Okay, three separate beings or one God in three persons? That's not a splitting of hairs. That's an eternally different perspective.
I believe there are three separate beings.
Okay. Yeah, so we don't believe the same way. We don't define the Trinity the same way. And I understand that's in keeping with that is, forgive me, is Mormon an appropriate term these days?
No,
I know
not
things
really.
That, okay, so what is the appropriate designation? Instead of me saying Mormon, I should say what?
Either like a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
That's what I call myself.
Okay, a member, okay. So The Church of Jesus Christ, as you understand it, as you're articulating it to me, believes that there is three distinct beings operating as God. Okay. They are not one God in three persons.
Yeah, I don't understand the one God in three persons, I guess.
Okay, well, God has said throughout his word, both Old and New Testament, that God is one, that there is one God in the heavens. There is not three gods in the heavens. There's not millions of gods. There's not a god of this world. There's not a god of some other world or some other planet. There is one God who created you and me, everything seen, everything unseen. one God.
Right?
Right. Created everything. Right. Created everything. That one God is one God, is one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not one God manifesting himself in three different ways, and not three co-equal gods operating as one, but one God in three persons.
So the three different people are separate?
No. They're not separate in any way whatsoever. They're just,
so it's
they're,
one person, it's like you saying you're the Father, you're the Son, and you're the Holy Spirit?
No, that would be modalism. That would be
I don't believe in that.
Yeah, that would be one God operating in three different manifestations, three different ways.
So you believe that Jesus Christ
is God in the flesh.
God in the flesh.
Yes.
But he's also the Son of God the Father.
Right.
So that means they can't be the same person.
Not true at all. They most certainly can be, and they are. Yeah, God is triune, one God in three persons. Within that Godhead, all of them co-equal in every respect, and at the same time, a hierarchical structure within that Godhead. God the Father sent God the Son. God the Son sent God the Holy Spirit. But one God, equal.
So are you using God as like a title, or are you saying...
No. God is. God is. God is Spirit. God is one. There is one God in the heavens, one Creator, one God, and he is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it seems confusing to me that they,
I understand.
They can't be separate. If God sent his Son,
yes.
You're saying that he sent himself.
No, I'm saying he sent his Son.
So he's different than the Father.
He is equal to the Father.
He's equal to the Father.
He is equal to the Father. No, God the Son is not God the Father. God the Father is not God the Son. God the Father is not God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is not God the Son.
So they are separate in that sense of I have God the Father, I have God Jesus Christ the Son, and I have God the Holy Ghost. But they are all God.
They are one God. They are one God in three persons. They are not all God together. They are one God in three persons. They are not three beings. See, I understand that would be
confusing.
I understand that would be in keeping with the Church of Jesus Christ's teaching. In that, if I understand right, that there is the possibility for you to one day be God or a God. Correct?
Uh-huh.
Right. And so that would not be a monotheistic belief of who God is.
Well,
that would be a polytheistic
God.
Belief.
The thing is, God is always going to be my God. If I were to, it's like saying, your father, your earthly father,
right.
who brought you up, he's always going to be your father.
But he's not going to be the father of all. He's not going to be
he's not going to
be the creator of the universe.
This is an analogy.
Right. Every analogy does break down.
Yeah. I'm saying, so in this analogy, your father is who he is, and that's never going to change, no matter who you become. You can become just like your father, right?
I can never become my father.
You can never become your father, but you can become like him.
I can never be...
Like if your father's a doctor, you can become a doctor. That's not going to change anything. You and your dad are completely different. You're equal.
But if there is...
You're a doctor, he's a doctor, and he's always going to be your father. That's never going to change. You're always going to be his son. For me, God our Father is always going to be my father. But in my sense of understanding is, Christ said, you're supposed to become like God, right?
No. No, he never said that. He did say, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, but that's not the same as becoming God. God's standard of goodness is moral perfection. That's what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about becoming a God yourself. God, Jesus
but
never taught that we could become God.
Did you become like your heavenly Father?
No. No.
Because to me it seems that do you have children?
Yes, three adult children. Yourself?
No, not yet.
Okay.
We're trying. You know, we're trying. No luck. But for me, I like to really personalize, not to take away from the sacredness of God, but as his ultimate special title, I guess you could say, is our eternal Father, our heavenly Father, which to me makes it more personal about he's a father and I'm his son. Just as you are.
So in keeping, let me turn this off. Try to pull the mic away, but So in keeping with that train of thought, then who is the father of God your father?
I don't know.
But is there a father of God your father?
I believe there is.
Yeah, then there is not one God who created
but
the heaven and the earth.
That God is not my God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like saying your grandfather is your father. That's not true.
Right.
And your father is your father. He's always going to be your father.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Your father had a father, but that just makes him your grandfather. That doesn't make him your father.
Yeah, there's nothing in the Word of God, though, that teaches that there are an unlimited or unknown number of gods. There's just one God who created everything. And he didn't create a bunch of other gods. And he didn't create us so that we could be gods like him. He created us for the purpose of worshiping him. Not to be God like him.
Doesn't it make kind of sense that a loving, eternal God who wants the best for his kids would want them to progress? Instead of being just a bunch of, hey, why don't you guys just worship me and that's it.
Only if I was unsatisfied with the God who is and I wanted to create a God in my imagination to suit myself. That's the only way that could possibly make sense to me.
See, because in my understanding is that a father wants his children to become like them, you know, in the sense of you want your kids to succeed and be the best they can. In that sense, that's true fatherly love. You don't want your kids to be like, oh, I want you, don't get like as good as me. I don't want you to succeed, you know? You know what I mean? You have children and you want truly the best for your kids.
I would never want my children to believe in a God who is not,
well, I'm not
the
talking
one
about,
God.
I'm not talking.
I don't want. Look,
I'm not talking about God. I'm just talking about.
I don't want my. I don't want my children to be like. Here's where the analogy breaks down. I don't want my children to be just like me because I am a sinner.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah,
true.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, right.
But in the sense of them succeeding and progressing. And
succeeding
and being
to what end?
Happy. Just being truly happy.
Yeah, but the goal is not happiness. The goal is holiness. God said, be holy for I am holy.
Can't happy and holy be together? Can you be truly holy and be miserable? I think happy and holiness
right,
go
but,
hand in hand.
Right, but happy is the way that we define the term, as humans define the term, being in some way being pleased with ourselves or pleased with our circumstances, is not the chief end of man. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
I know that regardless of who I become, God will always be my God. He's always going to be my Father. That'll never change. Never. No matter what.
So, Jesse, what do you think is more important? What we believe or whether or not what we believe is true? Because you're putting a lot of emphasis on the pronouns. My God. What do you think is more important?
In that sense of, you're just saying, like, what I believe. I think...
Well, no, what's more important? What we believe or whether or not what we believe is true?
I think the most important thing is that... You and me both believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God.
We don't believe in the same Jesus, though, Jesse. I mean, you know, disrespect, but if you believe in a Jesus, it certainly matters.
Stand up for you in any for anyone. Anybody were to try to harm you, hurt you, whatever. Christ has taught me.
Mm-hmm.
You are my brother, and you believe in Him. So I'm on your side. In my opinion, I'm on your side. 100%.
Right. And again, it goes back to the question, what's more important, what we believe or whether or not what we believe is true? Because that you believe with all of your heart that we're on the same side doesn't make it true. Right? And you're describing an entirely different, an eternally different Jesus than the one I'm describing to you.
I guess
because your Jesus had a beginning, just like you had a beginning. Your Jesus is born of the Father who was born of a Father who was born of a Father who was born of a Father. That is not one God who created the heavens. That's billions of gods ruling their own destiny, their own worlds, their own part of the planet. And that's why this idea that, hey, I want my kids to be just like me, is comforting to you because your God has an end.
No,
but the God who created...
He does not have an end.
He began somewhere. If he was begotten by some other deity,
the idea of a father and a son is limiting because we see it as earth. But that doesn't mean that beyond this earth life, eternity, I don't know when that began.
Well, it didn't begin.
It didn't begin if it's eternal, right? It's just a,
right,
a complete circle.
Right. And
which
the only,
I believe God is eternal. So he couldn't
but
have started out of nothing if he's eternal. Which is what I believe.
Right. He's outside of space and time. He created space and time. He's eternal.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, there is.
God the Son.
Because there is no beginning, no end.
Right. And God the Son is eternal. And God the Holy Spirit is eternal.
I believe that too. But that doesn't change the fact that he, the Father, is literally the Father of Jesus Christ. That doesn't, you know, that doesn't change the fact.
But not in the sense of your analogy that you're the father, or I'm the father of my children, or you're the father of the children you will one day have.
But that relationship doesn't end with this life. You know what I mean? After we die, are your kids going to not be your kids anymore? I don't believe that. I believe your children will always be your children.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that my children will always be my children. The Bible doesn't teach that my wife will always be my wife. Jesus specifically said that we would not be given in marriage in heaven. He specifically said that.
I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, he specifically said that. Because the Jewish leaders trying to trap him, tried a word game with him, challenged him, said, good teacher, so a man had a wife,
like
he died.
Horses.
Right. Yeah. Whose wife will he be? You know, who ultimately wife will he be? Which one of the seven men who had her will he be? And Jesus declared that there would not be, no one would be given in marriage in heaven. So Jesse, how is it that you receive forgiveness for your sins, according to what you believe?
Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ paid for my sins,
where did
God
he,
is the one that's going to forgive me.
Where did he pay for those sins? In Gethsemane or on the cross?
Both, in my opinion.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. The Bible does not teach that that his suffering in Gethsemane was for the remission of sin. The Word of God says that without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. There is no remission. There is no.
Did he not shed blood?
He sweated drops of blood, yes, but he did not give his blood as a sacrifice in Gethsemane. He only did that on the cross.
I think it was kind of like a continual thing. It started in Gethsemane, it ended on the cross.
It didn't.
Otherwise,
not according to the Word of God.
Why was he praying in the garden? Why was he going through so much pain and heartache in the garden?
Because he knew exactly what he was going to do, what the Father was going to have him do. He was going to pour out his life's blood on the cross. He was going to take upon himself a punishment he did not deserve, so that those who receive him as Lord and Savior could receive forgiveness of their sins. I mean, the entire picture of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament was a precursor to what Jesus would ultimately do on the cross.
Symbolic.
It was a picture.
It was symbolic of what was going to happen. I believe that.
Right. And it wasn't symbolic of what took place in Gethsemane. It represented what took place on the cross. And again, the Word of God in Hebrews, where the entire Levitical system is spelled out in the person and work of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, says without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. And it's a sacrificial shedding of blood. It's a propitiation. And he did not make propitiation in the garden. He made propitiation for sin on the cross, once and for all time.
He did bleed in the garden.
Well, I'm not denying that he bled in the garden. But
that,
he didn't. But he did
me,
not. But he did not bleed. But he did not bleed as a sacrifice for sin in the garden.
I think it's very little things that. Yeah, there's differences in our beliefs, but it still doesn't change the fact that Jesus is the Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that doesn't. Would you rather try to find the differences within each different Christian sect, or would you rather come together as we all believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we should be going against those who think Christianity, anybody who believes in Christ is a horrible person and evil and dumb, and you know, don't you think?
Have I communicated that to you at all? That
no,
I think you're
no.
that you're horrible and
no,
dumb?
No,
and...
have not.
Okay, good, good, because
no,
I would never want to communicate that
no.
to you.
No,
the Bible tells
me
to love my neighbor as myself. That wouldn't be loving.
I think it's interesting that what, okay, this is assumption, but what you're trying to do is just nitpick and find the differences of what? You believe I'm wrong and where you're right.
Yeah. No, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm loving you as my neighbor. Jesse, if I handed you a bottle of water and I knew that there was a drop of poison in that water, and I handed you that water and I let you drink it and I said nothing to you, would that be a loving thing for me to do?
No,
would it be reasonable for me to think that, you know what, I know there's poison in that water, but Jesse's just going to be able to drink around it. He's only going to drink the fresh water. I'm sure that drop of poison hasn't spread to the point that what Jesse's consuming contains poison. Would that be reasonable? No, not at all. Of course not. And the differences between what you and I believe aren't nitpicking items, and they're not little things that separate brothers. They are eternal differences. They are the difference between life and death. And believing that, for me to just put my arm around you and say, kumbaya, we all believe the same thing, would actually be hateful.
I believe, yes, there are differences in what we do believe. But I have my own personal testimony that what I believe is true.
Yeah.
Just as you probably have your own testimony of what you believe is true.
My salvation and the assurance of my salvation is not based on the confidence of my personal testimony. It's not based on my experience. It's based on the one and true and only Jesus Christ did for me on the cross.
Which is what you believe. Without that, it doesn't matter.
But again, it doesn't matter what I believe if what I believe isn't true. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
I'm declaring to you, I believe that. Jesus Christ is the only way.
But
He died for my sins. I believe that with all my heart. I know it to be true. I have felt the Spirit witness to me that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I cannot return to Heavenly Father without Him.
And
there's no other way.
Yeah.
There is no other way.
And our feelings are subjective. And you and I could both say that with passion and compassion. But if we're believing in different Jesuses, one of us is wrong. And I believe you're wrong, Jesse. And I say that to you because I love you as my neighbor. Not because I'm looking for a fight.
I appreciate that. And just as you do, the same for me. I believe, if that's how you want to word it, I believe that you are wrong.
Yeah.
And that, you know, when the time comes, I guess we will find out.
So, you said, Jesse, that your salvation is through, or I think I heard you said, let me say that, and you correct me. I think I heard you said that your salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that is the first step, yes.
Okay, that's the first step.
My faith in Jesus Christ is the very first step.
Okay, but it's not through faith alone in Christ alone?
No.
What else do you need to do for your salvation?
I need to have faith first, I need to repent.
Uh-huh.
I need to be baptized.
Okay.
And I need to receive the Holy Ghost.
Okay. So, how often do you need to repent?
I repent daily.
Okay.
Because I make mistakes every day.
Sure. Have you repented of every known and unknown sin you've ever committed?
Yes, I've tried to.
Okay. Trying to, though, is not having an assurance that you've repented of every sin you've ever committed.
Well, I can't say that because tomorrow's
and
another
I can't.
Day.
I can't say that either.
Yeah.
I can't say that either.
I might screw up tomorrow, so I can't say I've repented of all my sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying, I already know what I'm going to do in the future.
So if you haven't repented of all of your sins, how many sins can you not repent of and still have assurance of eternal life?
No. The only person who can really say that is, or understand that, is Jesus Christ Himself. Because He paid the price for my sins. And I think, as long as... How you doing, sir?
How are you today?
As long as I do strive, you know, to my dying breath, repent to what I can, it's really going to be the grace of Christ that's going to save me.
But nothing...
It doesn't matter. In the end, I still fall short.
So then is your hope in Christ alone, or is your hope in Christ and you doing the best you can do? sorry. Is your hope in Christ alone, or is your hope in Christ alone and the best you can do? Because I believe I read in 2 Nephi somewhere that it says we are saved by grace after all we can do. So how do you understand that verse?
I understand it that if I just say that I believe in Christ and that He's died for my sins, which we have to do.
He's
don't let that guy cross the road.
Every day. Every day he does. So I'm sorry, you said you have to believe in,
I think
in Christ, and
no matter what, I fall short.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm not perfect.
Me so neither.
I think if I do all that I can, I'm still going to fall short, and that's where Christ comes in the end.
Okay.
And He's the only way that's going to save me. He really is the only way.
So then it doesn't matter if you do all that you can do, based on what you just told me.
It does matter, because if I don't show God that I truly believe by doing what He's asking me to do, you know, if I don't try to keep the commandments, does that really show that I love God, that I really believe in Him? I don't think so.
So
I think if I strive to live the commandments, in some way, I'm trying to show God, hey, I believe you. I'm trying to do what you've taught. You said to feed the hungry, to do this, to that. I'm trying to do these things, and I'm trying to manifest, I believe it. I want to live this way because you asked me to live this way.
So how hard then, Jesse, do you have to try to have that assurance that Jesus is just going to cover the rest at the end?
That's individual.
Well, I'm asking you as an individual.
My trying is different than anybody else's.
Okay.
So for me personally, I got to do whatever I can. And
so long as you've done whatever you can in your own mind, in your own heart, then that's enough.
It's not enough to save me. No.
Okay. How much trying then would be enough to save you?
I don't know. Christ is the true judge, and I think.
Then where does your hope lie?
My hope lies that I know that He died for my sins. So regardless of what I do, He's going to be the one that's going to save me.
Okay, but do you see how that position breaks down, though? On the one hand, you say it's important for you to do all that you can do according to the scriptures that you believe. You have to do all that you can do. When asked how much that is, I don't know. And I know that, and I put my faith in Jesus that if I haven't done enough to do all that I can do, well, He's the final judge. Okay, so your confidence, though, in the end, Jesse, isn't in Jesus the final judge.
Oh, it definitely is. Because
he's
the only one that's going to save me.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what I'm doing, but for me, I have to show that I'm trying, right? Why are you out here? Are you out here because you think this is going to save you?
Absolutely not.
Then why are you out here?
Because
you want to show God?
No, because the two greatest commandments, Jesus said, are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater way I can show my love toward God than to tell others about Him. There's no greater way I can show my love toward you, my neighbor, than to point you to Christ. I'm not out here to earn His love. I'm out here because I'm so thankful for the love that He's given me. For instance, if you were my neighbor, and how old are you? If you don't
38.
Mind. 30, okay. So you're a little old to be my son. My oldest daughter's going to be 34 in a couple of weeks. But you're close. So let's just say you're a little younger than you are. You're my neighbor. You come knocking on my door and you say, hey, Tony, I'm going to shovel the rest of your snow so that I can be your son.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't. And
I'll shovel your snow because you're my neighbor.
Okay, so this is analogous. Okay, not a true story.
Uh-huh.
I don't expect Jesse to knock on my door
and
force adoption on me through snow shoveling. Okay. And so I'm going to look at you and say, hey, Jesse, I think it's nice that you want to shovel my snow. But shoveling my snow is not going to make you my son. What if you were my son? I come home one day and I see Jesse, no one asking, no one telling, shoveling the snow. I'm a skeptical dad because I know my son, who falls short every day. What does he want? Bad grade, girl I need to know about, keys in the car, money in my wallet. What does Jesse want? Jesse sees me, comes running over to me and said, Dad, yeah, no, I don't want anything from you. I'm just shoveling the snow because I love you and I'm thankful that you're my dad. Right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, perform miracles in your name, do mighty works in your name, and so on? And Jesus said, I will say to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew you, mm-hmm. you workers of lawlessness. Because their hope was that their work would somehow commend them to God. No one's going to stand before God the Creator and say, look what I've done.
Yeah.
Look at my resume.
Well, and so what you're saying is exactly what I believe.
Okay, but yet
in the sense of,
regardless
of what I'm doing, yeah. Christ is going to be the one that saves me.
Okay, so it,
but to me, I show my love to Him and my belief in Him by trying to live the way that He's asked me to live. Just as you're out here sharing, I try to do that myself because I love Him and I want to show Him that I do believe. But this, what I do, that doesn't save me. That will never save me. But it's just going, I believe you and I love you, so I'm going to do these things that you've asked me to do.
So then what, then again, I return to my question, what does it mean that you're saved by grace after all you can do?
Because
there's a condition on that salvation, and it's after all that you can do.
No. Because God has asked us to do certain things, and if you don't do them, are you really doing all that you can? You know what I mean? If God says, hey, you need to be baptized, but you never get baptized, but you truly believe in Him, are you going to be saved?
Well, baptism isn't required for salvation. It's a testimony of the finished work of Christ already in our lives.
That's what the Christian believes. Those who never get baptized never make it to heaven.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's not a requirement for salvation. It's a testimony of salvation. It's not a requirement for salvation. The best example of that is the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't climb down off the cross and get baptized. He died there on the cross, right next to Jesus Christ.
See, and that's... So, in my belief, what He said wasn't, hey, you're going to go up to heaven with me. But you're going to go to paradise. Because we believe something a little
right.
different.
Right, yeah, you believe in various levels of heaven.
Exactly.
Terrestrial.
Celestial.
Celestial. Yeah. Right. So, do you think you've done all that you can do?
Still alive. I'm still trying, man.
If you were to die today and you stood before God, would you have any confidence that you've done all that you can do?
No.
Then why does it? Then where's the hope? Why does it even matter?
The hope for me is in Jesus Christ. That He paid the price for me, and that He's going to be my advocate with the Father.
But Jesse, when I asked you if your faith was in Christ alone, you gave me, not a loud or boisterous or angry, but an emphatic no. That your faith is not in Christ alone for your salvation.
No. Christ is the only way that I am going to be saved.
Right, but there's something... Three or four times a week, Jesse? Sometimes intentionally, sometimes because they just don't know and...
I think, again, just maybe my not being able to explain it doesn't come across right, but I believe me striving to keep the commandments
does what for you?
Does nothing for me other than I'm trying to show God that I love Him and that I truly believe in Him. And I know regardless of what I'm doing, Christ is going to be the only one that saves me. He's the only way. Without Him, I'm not saved. I know that to be true. But for me, the difference is, I want to, like you said, I want to show my gratitude by trying to do everything that I can to show Him that I do care. That's not going to save me, but I want to show Him that I care, so I'm going to try to do everything that I can. Because if I don't, I could just sit at home and do nothing all day and hope, you know, God, I really do love you, but I don't love you enough to get up and share the word or to, you know, go help my neighbor or whatever. Like, that doesn't show me that I really believe in God. I think believing in God, you got to show that you truly believe in God. Serving others. And that's not going to save me, but it's going to, in some way, show Him, hey, I am one of your disciples. I'm trying to do what I can. Just like your disciples on the earth did all they could. That didn't save them. You saved them, but hey, they were trying. You know, they didn't sit back and say, "Oh, Jesus saved me, so I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. I'm saved." You know what I mean?
But in the end, Jesse, if you believe all of that and the Jesus you believe in isn't the Jesus who is, then none of what you believe is going to save you.
I believe Christ is going to save me. I think He is the only way. And regardless of what happens...
We both say the same thing.
Yeah, we do.
But we don't believe in the same Jesus. We don't, Jesse. Jesse, if you believe that one day you could be the God of your own world, if you believe that you can earn enough merit in your earthly life...
No.
...to one... Well, then how...
Your earthly life is no merit. I'm not trying to work my way into heaven. I'm trying to live as God is asking to.
Do you not believe that you can be the God of your own world? That Jesus is the God of this world and that you can one day be the God of your own world? Do you...
I believe that someday I can become as God is, but
yeah.
I'm never going to be the God that I believe. The God that I worship will always be my God.
So it's a pyramid where the comfort is, well, I'm just a little bit beneath the God that I worship.
No.
Jesse, that's blasphemous, Jesse.
No, I'm not anywhere near Him. See, we believe in eternal progression.
Right.
So my God, who is God the Father, He's going to keep getting greater and greater than me.
And His Father is going to keep getting greater and greater than Him.
Eternally.
And His Father is going to keep getting greater and greater than Him. And Jesse, that's blasphemous. That's polytheism, Jesse. That's a belief in many gods.
Those other gods are not my God. They're not my God. God the Father is my God. Just like I said, your grandfather, he's not your father.
It's not the same.
You can never go to your grandfather and be like, hey, Dad. No, you call, hey, Granddad.
You've relegated the God who created all things to the state of a grandfather, Jesse.
How is that? He's my father. I didn't say He's my grandfather. I said He's my father.
Right, and His Father would be your grandfather, and His Father would be your great-grandfather.
I don't worship Him. He's not my father.
Right.
Correct? Did Heavenly Father say, worship my father? Did He say, worship my grandfather? He didn't say anything. He said, worship me.
God who created us, Jesse, has never articulated anywhere in His Word, or to any prophet or to anyone else, that He's one in a line of gods. And so, Jesse, you can believe with your whole heart that you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But if your Jesus is in progression, in line with an infinite number of gods before Him, then you're believing a God of your imagination that can neither condemn you, because He doesn't exist outside of your mind, nor can He save you for the same reason. Because he doesn't exist outside of your mind. You need to repent and put your trust in the God who is.
I do repent. Trust me. I repent. I do.
But you're not repenting of the blasphemous belief that the God you believe in is one in a progression of gods.
See, but
that's blasphemous.
Your judgment is that I'm wrong. Whereas I believe Christ is going to judge us, and He will tell us, hey, you were wrong or you were wrong.
He's already,
just like you said,
he's already told us in his word.
Hey, I knew you or I didn't know you. You know what I mean? Like, I truly believe that. And for me, I believe I'm right. Just as you believe you're right, but I'm right. That's what I believe.
Well, I can do no more than speak the truth in love.
Me too.
I'm glad to have met you, Jesse.
Me too. And like I said, I appreciate what you're